In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
A reading from Ezekiel. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are imprudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens.
As the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of a maid to the hand of their mistress, so our eyes look to you, O Lord our God, until you show us your mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich and the derision of the proud.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weakness. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is more perfect and is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up, I remember having trouble figuring out where certain official proclamations came from. I remember traveling with my family to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Oneonta, New York, and we ate at this restaurant that said it had the world's greatest. I can't actually remember what it was that they said was the world's greatest because I was so hung up on this official designation. How does this restaurant claim to be the world's greatest and whatever they're making this claim about? Did they win a contest of some sort? Is this some kind of, how did this come about? It didn't appear that they won a contest, and I know that similar things, similar establishments would make these claims that they were the world's best or the world's greatest. I never understood it. And then I remember going to a school fair. Family would give you money, and you'd buy gifts for your family to bring back and whatnot. And I remember seeing these things, "World's greatest dad." I'm thinking to myself, well, how does that work? First of all, there's tons of them. It can't all be true, right? If we all buy these for our fathers. And I remember thinking to myself, too, even though I didn't know the word subjective, I understood subjectivity. I remember thinking to myself, well, is he though? Is he the world's great? My dad was a great father, but how could I say that he's the world's greatest? He's great to me, right? Needless to say, my father never got any of those things, those type of gifts from me. And for those of you who have known me for the past 10 years, you could imagine a little Adam Sornschei at a school fair overthinking this, right? I mean, that's just what I was doing way back when. But as human beings, we do like these designations. We need them. We need this kind of praise from the world and from those that love us. That's why a restaurant will promote its accomplishments, whether self-proclaimed or officially designated. It's why it's so meaningful for a child to give a parent such a gift, because at least in their world, they're the greatest. And it does make us feel good that we're doing something. Along those same lines, and I might have got this from my father, because he never understood in the Super Bowl, for example, how a team could say they're the world champions when you're only playing the sport in the United States, right? So he might have planted that in my ear a little bit, this kind of thought process. But we do need some kind of confirmation. We do need some kind of official understanding of what all this means. And that's where ceremonies and rituals help to accomplish such things. When at the graveside service of a veteran, doesn't that 21-gun salute say something? Doesn't the folding of the flag and being handed to a loved one say something about that person's service to their country? It does. In school, grades are a way in which you know that you're getting the material on some kind of scale. It also, I know I always appreciated not just the letter grade or the number grade on an assignment, but if the teacher were to write additional comments in encouraging me and that you are getting this, or that you don't quite understand all this just yet, right? We need these things. We need those voices out that are on the outside. They matter. But there's also this nagging voice on the inside. This nagging voice and wonders, what am I getting this? Are my accomplishments saying something about me? Now, right now, my children love it when I praise them. They get excited. They get excited by the approval that me and their mother offer to them. But there's going to be a time where they're going to brush that aside and say, you're supposed to say that. You're my father, right? On some level, we even start doubting the outside voices. On some level, we start second-guessing our inside voices. We know this to be true when someone of some status in our society, they have fame, they have fortune, and then we inevitably are surprised on some level where they have a spiral downward, right? They just seem to spiral downward. We wonder, how can this be? How often do we say to ourselves, when someone has money, they have approval, they've won awards, they have all these accomplishments, how often do we say to ourselves in conversation, they had everything, right? They had everything. How could this be? Did they have everything, though? That's the question I'd ask you. They had outside voices praising them. They had an inner circle certainly praising them. In many instances, they had the accolades and the awards achieved to reassure that their success was real. Yet, the downward spiral still points to dissatisfaction with all of that. Second-guessing those voices from the outside and the inside, needing something a little bit more official, needing something that offers more concrete reassurance of their belonging, of the fact that they matter in this world. So when it comes to the ministry of the church, I believe one of our hang-ups with evangelism in our society today is figuring out what we mean by evangelism and what Jesus is actually calling us to do. In our gospel lesson, Jesus sends out disciples to offer a life-giving word. And so all of us are called to offer a life-giving word to others. It's a word that affirms that despite our brokenness and shortcomings, that we're created in the image and likeness of God and are God's beloved. It is a living word that serves as a reminder that those that we encounter are loved, that we are loved, that they matter, that we matter. Because the voices from the outside and the voices from within don't give us that certainty. But the Lord's word gives us some certainty. The Lord's word gives us a foundation that we can stand on to say, you matter, you are loved, you belong. See, I believe people project what they feel in the worldly understanding of relationships onto God. So, for example, we believe that we need to do X, Y, and Z in order to receive the approval and praise of the world and those closest to us. What ends up happening in some circles is they think that that's how they have to relate to God. I must do X, Y, and Z for God to love me. I must do A, B, and C so that when I die, I can hear God's voice saying, well done, good and faithful servant. In the world, we can convince ourselves that our work and our accomplishments will be life-giving, that our work and our accomplishments will give us purpose. But it is the Word of God, Jesus Christ, that gives us new life and new purpose. We're not chasing the meaning of life as Christians. We know that life is a gift from God, and on the cross, Jesus has transformed our death into eternal life. and has also transformed our lives right here and right now. Our lives are not the same. Now, in hearing the gospel lesson for today, we might not see how this intersects with our lives and our ministry. On the surface, how can we be sent out to cast out demons and offer healing? First, it's a reminder that we are a sent church. So we shouldn't just expect people to stumble upon us, right? This isn't a cornfield turned into a baseball field in Iowa, right? Where we're just going to expect people to come to us. We need to continue to be a sent church. And certainly, we invite people into this place. As the disciples of St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, we invite people to come be part of God's family that's lived out here. But still very much a sent church, and we need to keep at that. Second, there are demonic forces out there in this world, just not in the Hollywood sense, right? It's not head spinning and, weird things that you see in horror movies. Oh. One of our niches in our congregation is feeding the hungry in our community. And some of the systemic reasons for poverty and hunger in our country, as blessed as the United States is, that there are still people that go to bed hungry, that there are still children that go to bed hungry, that is outright demonic. So to a person in our community, we are sent to share the love of Jesus, and when we feed people who are hungry, we are casting out those demons. Whether it's wiping out the school lunch debt in our local school district, whether it's sending backpack meals with elementary school students to their families for the weekend, or whether it's going out. Actually, we have to go out and get flyers out to the food pantry to invite them, to invite many in our community to a Wednesday meal, and they're coming to be fed. Whether it's any of those things, we are casting out those demons. We are pointing to the sinfulness and brokenness that feeds someone and cast out those demons. There are people in our community that feel like they don't matter. They're hearing those demonic voices from the outside and from within, that they're not really loved, that they're not special in any way. And it's a reminder to us that we don't just do a ministry of transaction, but we're called to a ministry of interaction. Described here in Mark's gospel, this isn't a transaction ministry. It's interacting with people. It's building up a relationship with people. It's dispelling those demonic voices of self-doubt and offering a life-giving word that says God loves you. Just this past week, I had someone tell me that they may, in the coming weeks, need a ride to medical appointments soon. They didn't know if they can turn to anyone to help get them to those appointments. In a less neighborly type of society, it calls us as Christians to step up and to build up community, to dispel the demonic forces of individualism and isolation, and to bring forth community and fellowship centered in the love of Jesus Christ. I also had someone tell me that they just had a loved one diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I asked how we could be of support to them as the church at this time. Right now, we can pray for their healing. We could also be the hands and feet of Christ to that person and their family. There are people in our community that are scared to death of their neighbors because the television and the internet told them to be afraid of them. And we can dispel the demonic forces of lies and division that put us against each other, and with the love of Christ, show a word of truth and love that brings us together. So this is very much a word for us today, a word that calls us to dispel the demonic forces at work and to be a healing presence through the ministry Christ has called us to carry out. We can be confident in doing what pleases God here because we are secure. We know this life-giving word to be true. It's a solid foundation. It has claimed us. It has claimed us. We are caught up in this word. And part of what we receive when we gather here for worship is an opportunity to find rest, holy rest, in this word, which is Jesus Christ, in word and sacrament. This life-giving word that God brings to us in Christ has freed us. We are truly free in this world because now we are part of God's new creation. And now we are free to go out and to love people by proclaiming and sharing this word from God, this very word that we find ourselves wrapped up in and caught up in. We're not going to chase meaning in this broken world through accomplishments and the standards that the world gives to us. Meaning has been given to us through the sacrificial love of Christ. And that's the abundant love that we so fearlessly and in many ways recklessly share with everybody, right? I want to remind you all, through holy baptism, you are all called to share this word. You are all called to share this word, in whether it's by your actions or by actual words that come out of your mouth. All of us are called to share it. So my sisters and brothers, let us be a free people in Christ. Let us continue to be a free people in Christ. Let us continue to be a sent people in Christ, sharing the word that has claimed us with others, sharing the word with those who long for this word of liberation, so that they may be free, so that they may know this new creation that's among us, so that they know that they belong, that they matter, and that this God loves them now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. To say we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died and was buried. he descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the forgiveness of the saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of all, through the waters of baptism, you claim people of all races, ethnicities, and languages as your beloved children. Sustain the baptized and increase their faith, that your gospel may be proclaimed throughout the earth. Lord, in your mercy. God of the heavens, your creating spirit animates the universe. We give you thanks for the moon and the stars, for the planets and the Milky Way, galaxy, and for all the mysteries of the cosmos that remain unknown to us. Lord, in your mercy. God of all nations, continue to bless this nation as you show us the splendor of diversity and the beauty of unity in your own divine life. Make us, who came from many nations with many languages, a united people that delights in our many different gifts. Defend our liberties and give those whom we have trusted authority the spirit of wisdom, that there might be justice and peace in our land. Lord, in your mercy. God of freedom, you have liberated us from sin and death and rescue us from all forms of spiritual, social, and political oppression. Defend us from tyrants in our midst and deliver us from all forms of slavery or corruption. Direct our freedom for works of liberation and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, you became vulnerable in the person of Jesus Christ, in solidarity with the disempowered. Strengthen those who feel faint. Give courage to those who fear and bring wholeness to those in need. Especially Matt, Annelle, Tracy, Scott, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Stan, Blaine, Michelle, Audrey, Rhonda, Nola, Dan, Diane, John, Gloria, the family of Bob Spiker, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, and our homebound. Lord, in your mercy. God of holiness, you send us out into the world to proclaim your love. We pray for our outreach ministries. Equip us as we leave this place to witness and serve our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. God of all, we pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks that in every time and place you call forth prophets who move us towards freedom. Thank you for those who work for human rights, community organizers, and all those who strive for liberty for all. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God, most mighty, O God, most merciful, O God, our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing. And full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen." Amen. O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As you come forward for Holy Communion, there'll be an usher with a tray of glass cups. They will dismiss you forward. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. We'll have stations on both sides with consecrated wine. And then if you desire grape juice, that will only be on the pulpit side. As you go through and receive the host and the wine or juice, there are wooden trays as you're going back to your pews where you can put your used glass cup. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.